You are watching the most valuable player in the NBA, Buffalo's Bob McAdoo. Tonight, McAdoo challenges Washington. Elvin Hayes, the Big E, has scored 60 points in the last two playoff games as the Bullets have opened up a 2-1 edge on the Braves. Welcome to the Memorial Auditorium in Buffalo and Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinal series between the Buffalo Braves and the Washington Bullets.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Left My Wallet. I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, also known as Thomas Santel, and I want to thank you for tuning in today for this great conversation I had with one of the brightest talents on the independent scene today, and that's Daniel Garcia. Now, some of you might not know of Daniel Garcia, but if you watch NXT and you watch AEW Dark, you'll definitely recognize his look. You'll definitely recognize the name. He was on AEW Dark last year, multiple occasions, and he was on NXT a couple times at the end of last year, wrestling as Dante Rios. And he had a great match with Tyler Rust, and he is a very intense, a very young and a very technical independent wrestler. And you're going to be hearing big things from him. And he's going to join a long list of other talents that have been on this show that maybe you hadn't heard of at the time, but then went on to greater things, such as Anthony Green, Kurt Stallion, Marco Stunt, Priscilla Kelly. I had all these athletes on the show when they were still on the indies, before they were on a national platform. Now, wrestling fans know who they are. And if you don't know who Daniel Garcia is, you soon will. He is from Buffalo, trained by Pepper Parks, good friend of mine. And we talk about his love of the NBA. We talk about what a fan growing up in Buffalo roots for, as far as, well, not the Buffalo Bills, but for basketball, players, teams, who they root for. We also go into some hip-hop, and of course, we talk some wrestling. Daniel just got back from Mexico, and he elaborates on that. And this is a really fun episode, really fun conversation. I want you to take a listen and get to know Daniel Garcia before he really hits it big on a national and worldwide level. Before we get to that, I want you to follow me, if you would like, on Twitter at Promise Thomas or at Retro Grappler for my Thomas Santel Twitter page. Also, go to the board, find the Left My Wallet Daniel Garcia thread, leave a comment, let me know what you think of the episode. I want to hear your feedback. This is a show for you, the listener. This is your show. It's not mine. So I want to hear what guests you want to hear on here. let me know. Feedback is appreciated, and it's going to only make this show better. It's going to make me better. So I want you to enjoy this conversation with Daniel Garcia. Here he is. Get to know this up-and-coming independent standout. Enjoy.
Yeah, as far as basketball goes in Buffalo, we obviously don't have a team. We used to have the Buffalo Braves, which are now the LA Clippers. We switched to LA. Yep. So I think growing up in Buffalo, like if you're a fan of basketball, you kind of just follow players, and like whatever team your favorite player is on, that's kind of the team that you become a fan of. I know that there's a lot of Toronto Raptors fans in Buffalo just because we're so close. And I think like the big market teams people are usually fans of, like the Lakers, Miami after LeBron went there, the Knicks. People love the Knicks here. But I feel like it's changing a little bit. Now I see a lot of Clippers fans in Buffalo, and I see a lot of Nets fans in Buffalo.
Clippers, really? Because of Kawhi, because of Paul George, probably?
Yeah, I think.
Or the old school. Yeah, because of the Braves too as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And they wear the Braves jerseys now as like their alternate jerseys. So they're still kind of repping Buffalo a little bit.
Yeah. So how old are you? You're what, 24, 23?
I'm 22.
22. Okay. Yeah. So did you, growing up, you were probably started following sports right around like Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady being in Toronto. I want to guess early to mid 2000s, 2005 or so, 2010. Who was your team and who were your guys that you gravitated to that really got you into hoops?
Well, I started getting like really into basketball like in high school, basically. That's when I started to like really get into like watching basketball and stuff. And for me, like I was a big LeBron James fan. So like when he was in Miami, that was cool. But when he went back to the Cavs and I was able to see that loyalty and him be able to bring a championship back to his city, that was really cool to me, especially because there's a lot of similarities between Cleveland and Buffalo, I feel like. Two cities that never win anything.
A lot of heartache. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of heartache, like two, like kind of like poor cities with not really much there, like Rust Belt cities. And to see LeBron be able to go back and kind of transform his city and reinvent the whole city and pump life back into it was really a cool feeling for me as a fan. And, when I was in high school, I also, for some reason, like, I always gravitated towards James Harden. Like, I was a huge James Harden fan in high school. I loved his personality. I loved his celebrations and his ability to score. And so, in turn, I was kind of like a Houston Rockets, like, kind of fan for a little bit. Not like a diehard fan or anything, but I really liked James Harden. I liked everything he brought to the table.
So, not even going back to the Thunder. when he was
not even going back to the Thunder because I'm the Thunder. I always liked Russ. Like I thought Russ was the guy. I still love Russ.
Yeah,
but once Harden went to Houston, kind of was able to steer the ship on his own, I was like, wow, this is the guy. He's like one of the greatest scorers of all time.
What were you thinking at the beginning of the year when he comes out looking like Mark Henry? He looks about 300 pounds. And then the play that everybody saw he got traded right after it, where he just intentionally almost just threw the ball out of bounds toward John Wall. Like what are you thinking then at the time? And then he goes to Brooklyn and he's a model citizen. He's
playing
like
the
leading game. He's getting like 14 assists a game. He's somehow, you know, is able to survive with Kyrie, who I can't stand. And until he got hurt, he's a model citizen. So what, it's like a tale of, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde with that guy.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to say it was like disappointing, because obviously he's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants to do. But as a basketball fan who's excited to see competition in the league, I was a little disappointed to see him kind of give up on the organization. I know he was really upset that Daryl Morey left and went to the Sixers.
Yeah.
So it was pretty sad to see, because I was really excited for that Rockets team. Like John Wall and James Harden on the same team, I was really intrigued to see how that was going to work. And I thought Boogie was going to be able to do more than he was able to do.
No.
Christian Wood like was kind of coming into his own. So I was really excited to see the dynamics at play there. And then Harden just to come in, like looking like crazy out of shape, going to clubs during a pandemic. Like it was just it was a little rough to see. But I'm really happy for him that he got where he wanted to go. I think it really shows too the loyalty of the Rockets organization. I mean, they traded him away basically for scraps just so he could get to where he wanted to go. And they did the same thing with Russ and the same thing, I think, with Chris Paul too. They're like, they're letting players go where they want to go. They're not trying to get the best options in return for them.
Well, you know what? They're kind of doing what OKC is doing or has done when they're that Harden trade was so there were three teams involved. I can't remember the particulars, but they're stockpiling a lot of first round picks.
Yes.
And Christian Wood, before he went down and got hurt, was he had most improved player locked down. Him or Jeremy Grant, one of those two.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I'm not a Harden guy. You see what Chris Paul is doing in what he did in OKC and what he's doing now in Phoenix. And I haven't been a Harden guy in the past, but I mean, he was making a case for MVP had he stayed healthy with what he was doing in Brooklyn. I think it's going to go to Jokic now because I don't know who else would be a candidate because everyone else has gotten hurt. I guess Giannis or maybe Embiid, but
yeah. People are saying Embiid, and now people are even saying maybe Curry, but I don't think Curry will be a high enough seed to.
No. I don't even know if they're gonna make the playoffs. I know we got the play-in through the 10th seed, but
I think they're at the 9th seed right now, so they're not even gonna be a high enough seed for him to be considered MVP. But I see like a lot of people on social media trying to push that narrative.
I don't want to see San Antonio in the playoffs. They're a boring team. I want to see in that, well, it's not the bubble anymore, but I want to see in that playoff series, I want to see Golden State there. It was like last year with Portland. Portland's a fun team, and we saw Damian Lillard go off last year.
With nobody.
Yeah. With you know, God, they had a Hassan Whiteside last year who they couldn't even put on the floor because he doesn't play defense. So, last thing here on I want to just touch on the Western Conference. You said, you know, you're a LeBron fan. You also got the Clippers now. I think they have the first seed. No, Utah does, but the Clippers are three games behind. Phoenix is there. I think the way, you know, I don't know if LeBron and AD will be fully healthy, but right now they're lining up to play Denver in the first round. Could see Clippers and Lakers in the first round. Mm-hmm. I know Paul George has been a disappointment in the playoffs before, but I think it's this year it's for the Clippers to take the Western Conference.
I think so too, especially with Jamal Murray being hurt and stuff. I think it's really, I think this is the Clippers' year to make it out the West. I think they have like the perfect, they have the perfect recipe and the perfect matchup for anybody in the West. I mean, because like the biggest question in the West, right, is like, oh well, who's gonna guard AD? It's like, well, they might not be that big, but you got Kawhi Leonard, you got Paul George, you got Serge Ibaka, you got people who can lock them up.
Zubac.
You got people who can not clamp up AD, but who can kind of slow him down a little bit. And I think, especially if AD's not 100%, I think we're going to see that.
What about the other AD, though? Andre Drummond. Like, he's there in LA now, and you know, I don't. 15 rebounds is 15 rebounds. I know why he's moved around the last couple of years, but. It's going to be interesting to see how that team, and I know they got a great coach. I know Vogel will figure it out, but it'll be interesting to see fitting in Davis, fitting in Drummond. Talen Horton Tucker has been playing decent for a second year guy. Kuzma's kind of come to life since all these injuries. but
Kuzma for MVP. When Kuzma's the starter, and when Kuzma's the first option, he's unstoppable.
It's the blonde hair, man. He went.
Gotta be.
He's got the Shelton Benjamin look there. So quickly on the East, who are you picking in the East? You going with Harden and Brooklyn?
No, I actually didn't say this, but over the past couple of years, like recently, like I've become like the biggest Miami Heat fan ever because I'm a huge Jimmy Butler fan. Okay. I love Jimmy Butler. He's my favorite player in the world. So over these past couple of years, I've become a ginormous Miami Heat fan before they made the finals and all that. I'm not like super bandwagon.
Well, listen, this is a hard-nosed guy that would have fit right in the 80s, early 90s, slept in his car, was homeless at one point, wasn't a big recruit coming out of college. And Marcus Smart is my favorite Celtic of all time. And like Marcus Smart, Jimmy Butler will punch you in the face. And he's a perfect, it seems, you know, Lee Moriarty, like Jimmy Butler as well. It seems to be a theme among workers and wrestlers that we love Jimmy Butler. So,
he's the best.
So Miami right now, where are they? They're at the seventh seed and they got off to a slow start.
We're looking rough.
You know, Bam Adebayo has been in and out of the lineup, but when that team's healthy, trust me, as a Celtics fan, I saw what they could do last year.
When we're healthy, we can beat any team in the league. It's just a matter if we can get everybody on the court at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyler Hero, second year. So Precious Achiuwa, who I really like as a rookie, when he gets playing time, he performs. So you got a deep bench there. Trevor Ariza, you got
Iggy, Duncan.
Yep. So easy transition, NBA to hip-hop. You are from Buffalo, and Buffalo hip-hop these last few years has blown up. You know, whether it's Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, Griselda, go on and on. I don't know where this came from. I never thought that Buffalo would be kind of the Atlanta of the North. kind of getting more publicity than New York. But what you being 22 and, you know, having your finger on the pulse of the Buffalo hip-hop scene and independent hip-hop scene, how did this all come about this last like 5-10 years?
I think it's just a matter of a city that's kind of been slept on for years and years and years, and then kind of all at once a bunch of talent just emerging and doing it on their own, which I think is really cool. Guys like West Side Gun, Benny the Butcher, Conway the Machine, like great people and people who are extremely loyal to the city of Buffalo. And their loyalty is finally persevering. They're not people who switched up and moved to Atlanta or and tried to change their style. They didn't move to New York City and try to sound like drill rappers. No, they stayed in Buffalo, and they're rapping the same exact way as they did early in their career, and it's finally starting to be able to reap the fruits of their hard work, you know? And I think it's really inspiring. I think that they're definitely putting they're kind of giving the city a little bit of an identity.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Drake did to Toronto.
Sure.
Like Drake kind of gave the city of Toronto like this kind of like moody, gloomy, like cold feeling when it comes to music. And you had people follow him like Maheeb Jordan, Party Next Door, The Weeknd, people like that. And now Griselda's kind of giving Buffalo an identity, just like a grimy, hard-nosed lunch pail, a hard-working type feel. And I think that's perfect representation of Buffalo.
Yeah, and I was going to say that, how it represents the city. And it almost, when I first started listening a couple of years ago, and I'm not as familiar with the Buffalo scene as you are, it reminded me of, it was very dark, it was dingy, rainy, kind of had like a rainy feel to it. Not necessarily the best like workout or gym music, but it had a old school RZA feel. It had a very J. Rue the Damaja, Come Clean feel. If you ever heard, that's a classic, you know, kind of those just like, I don't want to say depressing overtones, but it had, but yeah, it and Buffalo isn't a depressing city by any means, but it had a gritty, grimy feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you listen to that music when you try to work out, you'll end up jumping out a window or something.
Yeah.
Definitely not the best workout music. It, like, for me, like, the music is, it's perfect for, like, driving. Like, I love driving downtown, like, on my way to work and just listening to, like, Benny or West or Conway. It's
Yeah.
a great feeling.
What other hip hop are you listening to now? It could be current stuff, it could be older stuff.
Right now, I'm listening to like a lot of new stuff. Like I go back and forth where like I'll only listen to classic stuff, and then I'll go on binges where I just listen to like
What do
new,
you what classic stuff are you listening to? And you're 22, so classic for
like.
you might be 2015 for
Yeah, it
you
might be
know.
different. Like I'm a big fan of like Pusha T is like my favorite rapper of all
Okay.
time, so I'm like a big fan of the clips. Jay-Z is, in my opinion, like the greatest music artist of all time. To me, he has all his albums are classics. So just stuff like 90s stuff like that. I really like Common,
Oh,
people
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. He gets so slept on as an MC, as a rapper, because
He
way
does.
back when I was a kid, I remember him coming out. He represented Chicago. Chicago didn't have a huge hip hop scene, and his original name was Common Sense, and he came
Yeah.
out around, I want to say 91. I remember seeing him on like Yo MTV Raps, and he just had a different flow to him, and then now people know him as an actor and a much don't even know him as a hip hop
Yeah.
artist, but
Doing the NBA All-Star call outs, making everybody's names rhyme.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but like new stuff, like I really like Roddy Ricch is really cool to me. His stuff is really different. Polo G, Pop Smoke, R&B. So just like newer, kind of like melodic stuff I like listening to at this very moment.
Yeah. I haven't I, you know, when I was I'm a teacher, I teach from home, but when I was teaching in school, I was always putting on music for the kids to listen, current stuff, clean stuff to listen to. So I haven't
Yeah.
really had my finger on the pulse of stuff. But I have been old school guy that I never listened to back in the 90s was Fat Pat, because Derrick Lewis comes out to Tops Drop. So I've been getting into going to that Houston kind of 90s southern tip lately, especially for my workouts. So
Yeah, what a time that was. Oh, I also listened to a lot of like UK drill too. I love UK rap music. It's so
okay.
good. It's so good.
What makes it what
It has like the same
gravitates you towards it?
it has like the same grittiness as like New York rap, but it's like they talk about like weird things. Like instead of talking about like guns, like they talk about like knives a lot. Like their insults are just like really funny, like the things that they like if they're saying they have like beef in a song or something like that, like their insults to the people they're talking about are just like really funny, and like hearing it with like the UK dialect just makes me laugh every time.
Okay. What's an artist that listeners here could listen to, or I could listen to, because I'm not very familiar with some UK stuff.
I like this dude, M Loose, his name is. He's pretty good.
Okay.
He's like real like drilly, like trap type music. But
Okay.
if it's like if you're not in the mood for like that kind of like hard stuff, like Skepta is obviously like a great UK artist. Stormzy, AJ Tracy, they make really good music, and it's a lot different than American rap music.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, there was Gangstar or Guru, the late Guru. He would do jazz. He had an album, Jazzmatazz, and he had some French artists on there, and it was very different and unique, very obviously a jazz feel to it. So I do like, hip hop's my favorite, but I like cheesy shit. I love any, Peaches by Justin Bieber, man. I love that song that's out now,
That's a good
man.
song.
You know, it is. It is. I don't care. Any people can fight me on it. I don't care. You showed up on AEW Dark last year, and I was very happy to see you, knowing you from Beyond Wrestling and seeing you. I don't know, the Beyond came out with the Discovery Gauntlet, and I had it, I think, 7 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks. And you beat the man that beat me, Christian Casanova. So you beat him in like 2 minutes, which was great. I popped big time for it. So I was very happy to see you on Dark. But I want to ask you on Dark, you got the opportunity to work with the man that trained you, Pepper Parks, who we know as The Blade. And I want to ask you about the experience of kind of stepping your game up, going to Dark, and then being in the ring with your trainer, who I've been in the ring with my trainers before, and doesn't matter if you're in front of 20,000 fans at Madison Square Garden or wherever you are, pay-per-view, you get more nervous and you want to please nobody else more than the person that trained you. So talk about that experience being in the ring. I think it was you and Kevin versus Andy and Pepper, if I'm wrong, but talk about that experience.
AEW was it was a great experience. It was a really cool opportunity. I said this in another interview before, where I feel like the best way to describe my feeling going into that match is, like, I felt like I belonged there, and it felt extremely natural to me. Like, I was in the ring with Pepper, who I've been in the ring with probably, like, you know, hundreds of times in training, in front of no people and in front of hundreds of people. So it was really cool to get that opportunity in front of such a big audience and such a big platform. I think that Pepper and Andy are extremely underrated, and I feel like me and Kevin were kind of the perfect opponent for them at that time. We were people who were going to bring them a fight, and people who were going to do exactly what we were assigned to do when we got there. And I feel like that's what we did. You have to know your assignment. I feel like that's the biggest thing in wrestling. And I feel like me and Kevin performed our assignment to a T.
You did, man. You guys, I don't remember the match. I remember the match. I don't remember it, you know, picture perfectly. But yeah, you guys, you did great. And you knew your role. You knew what you were there to do. And obviously they gave you a lot. It wasn't just an enhancement match. They gave you more than an enhancement match. I remember you took the heat, I believe. But that's why I love Ryan Nemeth. Like, just to throw a guy out there, he knows his place right now is to make others look good, and he can do it. He has a look, he's in shape, what he does, he makes count, and he knows his place, and it's that's so important. I'm glad for a 22-year-old to know, to just say what you said and not, I got to get all my shit in. It's refreshing to hear, and it's good to hear at in any era, in any year, you know?
I appreciate that. I really feel like that there's a lot of value in wrestling, and a lot of people have had very successful careers and done very well for himself by knowing exactly what their assignment is every time.
Yeah. And you also, you were on NXT. You had a few appearances on there.
Yeah.
As Dante Rios, working with Tyler Russ, who I think his real name is, he's from California. I think it was Russ Taylor or Russ Tyler out there.
Yeah, it was Russ Taylor.
I love the way he works. He works very similar to the way you or I would work, very technical. And, you know, that was another match. You, from what I remember, you got a lot in that match. And talk about the experience, because very few people have had the opportunity work for both companies in such a short amount of time. And that speaks volumes to your maturity at such a young age.
Again, like a great experience on a great big platform. It definitely helped me to make some decisions, and it helped me to validate some things in my mind that I was thinking about choices in wrestling. And I feel like, again, I felt like I belonged there. It felt supernatural for me to be there. I didn't feel out of place in the locker room or in the ring. I felt like, as humbly as I can say this, I felt extremely deserving of the opportunity. And I think I kind of knocked it out of the park. I think I did exactly what I was asked to do. And I think it shows every single time I'm in the ring. I think I know my assignment, whatever it is. I'm going to do my best to accomplish whatever somebody's asking me to do.
Maximizing your minutes and maximizing your role. Yeah, you did that. As we wrap things up here, you were in a pretty serious car accident a few years ago. And just for people here at The Observer that don't know much about it, you made a remarkable comeback, which I think culminated possibly at Beyond when you came back there. But I believe Kevin was in the accident. I don't want to harp on it, but I think it is a big part of your story and who you are today and what you've accomplished. Just talk about briefly, you know, what the accident and recovering from it and getting back into the ring and being able to do what you've done since.
It's definitely a big part of my story. I think it's one thing in my life that if someone was ever to make like a movie or a documentary or something about me one day, that's definitely a major plot point that would be featured. So obviously it stunk that I broke both my legs and I missed a bunch of time and had to go to school in a wheelchair and had to take time away from wrestling. But I think in the long run, it's worked out. I think it taught me to value life and little moments in life a lot more. And it taught me to appreciate everything that I have. Even something as simple as to just be able to stand up while I'm showering or walk across the kitchen and make myself oatmeal. It taught me to be able to value those little things in life. And for that, I'm very grateful for.
What you said about going to school in a wheelchair, it meant you didn't stop. You didn't just stay home and wallow. I destroyed my shoulder about 10 years ago, and it wasn't as serious as yours, you know, but breaking two legs, man, that's life changing. But yeah, it's just getting up, and whether it's going for walks, having to dress yourself. You know, I was a substitute. 2 days later, I was doing substitute teaching because I needed to do something and I just couldn't sit there and just, you know, and I think that's so important about what you said, being able to persevere, and it speaks volumes of you. So
thank you.
And that's led you to what you're doing today, which is recently wrestling in Mexico, which I was very, when we set this conversation up, you told me, hey, I'm going to be in Mexico this weekend. Who was that for and how did that come about?
It was for a company called Lucha Memes, which is ran by a guy who ran like a couple different promotions over like the past 15 years. He's brought in legends into Mexico, people like El Generico, Kevin Steen, Chris Hero, Zack Sabre Jr., Gresham. Mm. He's brought all those people into Mexico. And to be like the first person of this next generation that he's bringing into Mexico, to be able to be the first wrestler of this next generation of independent wrestlers, is very cool to me, and it was an honor. Wrestling in Mexico was a great experience. Wrestling there is treated extremely different. I feel like it's viewed on the same level as any other sport. Like going there, I felt like a superstar. And like, I feel like that's how, that's kind of how I wish wrestling would feel all the time, you know?
It's like, it's part of the culture. It's like soccer is in Europe, you know?
Exactly. And yeah, it's like, I felt like the equivalent of like playing in the NBA in America, you know? It felt like I was a superstar, and, just being able to learn how to perform in front of different types of crowds and just realizing that, hey, the style that you do at Beyond Wrestling or Limitless Wrestling isn't going to translate to this crowd in the middle of Mexico City. And it was definitely a great learning experience from that aspect.
How hard was that ring? Was it hard, or was it a decent bumping ring?
It was the hardest wrestling ring I've ever wrestled in. And I had no warning going into it. I thought it was going to be like a wrestling, just like a regular wrestling ring, a little bit of bounce to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that I pride myself most on is my cardio. Like in my opinion, I have amazing cardio. I can run a mile in under 6 minutes. I have good cardio. Wow. So I'm in this ring and like I take the first bump And I'm like, okay, that hurt a little bit. My energy is starting to drain. And then every bump I took and took and took, it just drained more and more energy out of me. And I feel like I was just gassed by the end of the match. Because just every time I bumped, I felt like the wind got knocked out of me. And of course, in my match, like me not thinking about how hard the ring was going to be, I'm doing like power bombs and taking brain busters and stuff. It's basically like taking it on a pool deck, it felt like.
Yeah, I had that. I was doing some training about 10 years ago for a company out in Italy, training people, and they had a boxing ring, but it was legit. Yeah. It was like maybe a foot high, but it was cement. It was cement, and I didn't know, like an idiot, I didn't know it was cement. Took a flat back bump, and it was like, oh man, I felt like Trent when he used to do that tope over the top rope where he just land on his back, and it was like
laying on his tailbone.
Fucking sucked. I was like, I don't know if I adjusted my back or if I broke it, but it was yeah, but that one was good enough for me. So yeah, the rings in Mexico, very hard, like old boxing rings, and yeah, work smarter, not harder in that instance.
Yes.
So but you got to get over, and it sounds like you did that, and you do what you need to do to make a name for yourself. Which you're doing beyond wrestling. You're the Limitless champion, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
You got a lot of big things going on. Tell us what you have coming up and tell us where people can find you on social media.
Coming up this weekend, I have a match. I think it's called OWA in Ohio. I'm in a triple threat match with Lee Moriarty and Trey Lamar for that title.
That's the Jimmy Butler Cup, that one right there.
The Jimmy Butler Cup.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the next week, I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas, wrestling a guy named Dante Smiley for a championship. And then I got more Limitless shows coming up, defending my title against JD Drake,
ooh,
I believe, on May 7th.
Ooh,
so that'll be my next title defense.
Cool.
And you can find me at Garcia Wrestling. That's on Instagram and Twitter. That's my handle on everything.
Look, play my position in the kitchen, I'm working. Whip it, bag of half and 50s, hit the strip and I serve it. If it's an issue, trust, I'm coming to get with you in person. With the extender throwing at you till I flip your Suburban. All my business is flourish, I'm on my way to my yacht. I put a 6 on the dock like Julius Irving. Damn, I know my nigga's sisters is hurting. He caught new case, but got his sentences concurrent. That ain't get him discouraged. Got another homie in prison for murder. He would let his gun clap and fire at anyone that would try. Watching this baby mother's cry, I got numb, I can't lie. His mama ain't shed a tear, she know that come with his life. Thought about it, his kids was young when son got the time. Won't see his daughter graduate, can't teach his son how to drive. Now you see where I get this ambition from and this drive. The machine, I'm iller than anyone that's alive. Look, bought the Benz truck and the Maybach with no license, straight from dealership, not from the auction with the low prices. A long way from selling white and running from the police. You niggas know who flow nicest, raise the ball and coke prices. Fronted the homie, caught a joint, he stopped answering. Been my nigga since grammar school, I don't know how to handle it. Flea said, you leave them knots in your chest, they gon' turn to cancer it. In other words, he's saying, don't let it slide, you gotta handle it. Nigga, lemon squeeze, lemon squeeze, lemon squeeze, lemon squeeze. Don't tell my nigga stay safe, tell him to stay dangerous. Auntie hit that stem, almost fainted. Fiends love me in every ghetto, nigga, I'm famous. Had some young boys pull up, do you heinous? Let me squeeze, let me squeeze. Let me squeeze, let me squeeze.
Go to my brother Conway and Method Man. Let me squeeze, let me squeeze. Who would think, man, Method Man is up for the verse of the year right now, man. Method's up for verse of the year, man. That Let Me Squeeze, man. CNN, watching CNN. I forgot what he said, man. You can't even see CNN.
Capone and Noriega watching CNN. Black whip, black tent, y'all ain't seeing that. It's kind of mess, spread the word, boy, you're seeing them. No seeing them, these rappers in the scope, you're never seeing them. Killer bees back in the building with machine in them. We creaming them with pockets of dirty money. I'm clean again. Ain't got to tell you I'm dope. Just stick the needle in. The goose is all quite big enough to fit this eagle in. Tis the season and why ask why? I has my reasons and my birds don't need no seasoning. FOD in this evening. Now ask yourself, is that really air that you breathing in? I think outside the box, did I find a box I can keep them in? Or just leave it then, like the bouncer won't let your people in. People said they want that old map, well this the prequel then. I get medieval, some people won't make the prequel then. Leave them in the fetal position, F it, I'm leaving then. I use the system, you cowards use euphemisms. Women call me super daddy, my powers and supervision. Who gave you permission to speak, to learn you listen, learn to listen to a different MC. You learn the difference. In addition, if you're missing MC, sign this petition, get a fraction of that faction, subtract it by my division. I'm a boss, so that means I make decisions. / villain, I will kill an MC to make a living, yeah.